Hosea chapter 5, these chapters from chapter 4 through to 10, virtually, when I say it's not great reading, it's God highlighting the mistakes and the sins and the waywardness of Israel and the tribes of Israel, and God actually speaking judgment over them. So I'm not going to go into too much background regarding chapter 5 or the other chapters, but to try and draw some points out from them that can challenge us, encourages us in our own Christian journey. And in chapter 5, it starts off by saying, "Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, royal house." And just to pick up that word, really, listen. Listening to God is so important. And verse 5 is addressing the priests, and it's addressing the princes, the royal family. And so it's the priests that were entrusted with the word of God. And it was the princes and the kings that had the authority. And what it was saying is that sadly both priests and royal family had become corrupted. And God needed to gain their attention. They needed to listen to God, but they were turning their backs on God. And it's important always that we listen to what God is saying. And right throughout the scripture, both Old and New Testament, we see the importance of being able to hear and understand God. You remember the story of Samuel when he was first called, and he thought it was Eli that was calling him. And he went to Eli and said, "Why did you call me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." Well, no, that happened two, three times. And then Eli said to Samuel, "Next time you hear the voice, say, 'Your servant is ready to listen. Your servant is ready to hear what you are saying.'" Samuel at that point hadn't had his ear tuned into the voice of God, but he certainly knew how to listen to God after that. And then going right to the far end of the Bible in Revelation, and if you to read the Message translation of Revelation 2:7, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:13, and 3:22, which is the letter, John's letter from the Isle of Patmos to the churches. It all starts off with, "Are your ears awake? Listen, listen to the wind words of the Spirit." Then again in Revelation 39, the question is asked, "Are you listening to this? Are you listening?" And to listen, we have to give people our attention. And quite often in family life, we kind of put on a listening face, but we're not actually taking certain things in. "Will you paint this? Will you do that? Will you do the other?" And we kind of nod, but sometimes we're not too sure what we're nodding to, because we've heard words, but we've not fully listened. And sometimes that's because the pace of life is so much. And with this time, we need to be hearing what God is saying. As we come out of lockdown, as we, as a leadership and as a church, are working out how we get back to a church building and what that should look like and how it should be, it is so important that above our own thoughts, we hear God's thoughts. We are in a place to listen to what God is saying. And in our busyness, you know, Sean can say something from things to me, and I can say, "Yes, I hear what you're saying." And then the following week, she'll say, "But you didn't do that." "Do what? You didn't tell me to do that." "I told you last week, and you said yes." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about," because I hadn't fully listened, or my ear is tuned to listening to what I want to hear. And then I put my interpretation onto that. And quite often in church life, our thoughts and our opinions, we have to be careful that in them we can still hear the voice of God, and we move forward in that. Just to move on, not to spend too much time, but the listening to God is so, so very important. In verse 8, it says, "Sound the trumpet in Gilboa and the horn in Ramah." Sound the trumpet. Now, you will know that the trumpet and the horn in the Old Testament times spoke of worship in certain areas, but in other areas, people were placed on watchtowers to look for invading parties that would try to come and capture the town or the city. So the warning, sounding the warning, was very, very clear to get to the battle stations. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this: "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" So John the Baptist, in one sense, was blowing the trumpet. He was saying there is the time coming when there will be a day of judgment and the people need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" There's a sad verse in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 5, which says, "Since they heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves." And so in the Old Testament, we don't have Noah blowing a trumpet, but we have Noah warning the people of an impending disaster. But they laughed at Noah. They chose not to listen to him. And for many of us that were brought up in church, particularly in the Elim circle, many of us can remember many regular sermons on the second coming and on the fact that Jesus would return. And we don't hear as many talks or sermons on the second coming, but the second coming will happen. It will take place. And therefore, as a church, we need to be sounding the warning. We need God's wisdom. We need to listen to God as to how we sound the warning. So we're not to go into the church car park and all learn to play the trumpet and blow the trumpet very loudly at 5 o'clock on Monday morning. That's not what God wants us to do. But God wants us to sound a warning, because the second coming will happen. Now is the day of salvation, but that day will come to an end. And so we need to be sounding the warning. We need to be listening to God as to how we sound the warning. But we must take on board again that there is a warning to be sounded out and to be spoken about. And we do that in wisdom and in love. And just one other verse here. It's found in verse 10. It says, "Judah's leaders are like those who move boundary stones." Moving the boundary stones. And so again, you will know that in the time of the Bible, particularly in Old Testament times, the way that they marked their land and their property was by putting literally boundary stones. And what Israel has been accused of, what they is extending their boundaries and taking from a weaker tribe and moving into their property and into their land. If I could just say this about boundary stones, sadly, particularly over the last, 20 years, might be a bit longer, for evangelical Christians, there have been, for some, a moving of the theological boundary stones and certain things that were held dear and fundamental. Some Christians, thankfully, still keep those boundary stones in place. But other evangelical Christians have moved the boundary stones, some of them on quite fundamental biblical truths. And we must be careful to keep our boundary stones in place, not to water down the gospel and the truth of the Bible. Again, we do that lovingly, with compassion and care, but it is important that we keep our biblical boundary stones in place and we attend an Elim church. And Elim has put certain theological boundary stones in there, which we need to maintain as we seek to worship God, to sound the warning, to sound the trumpet. But we keep it within those boundary stones. And sometimes these spiritual boundary stones, we can be in danger of moving our own spiritual boundary stones. The Bible tells us, and Paul tells us, that we die daily, that we live for Christ daily, and we can surrender our lives. And if we surrender our lives, you know, the boundary stones are in a set place. But then we can start shifting the boundary stones and taking things back from God. Yeah, I'll give you this, but I'm keeping this and I'm not letting you have that. So we need to make sure in our walk with God, in our commitment to God, in our surrender to God, the boundary stones are not moved. Just to finish with a well-known scripture, 2 Timothy tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we need to keep our boundary stones firmly in place.